I want to stimulate our minds and hearts a bit this morning by looking at one of a very, very important topic for Christians and non-Christians. How can I find out God's plan for my life? And you know, Proverbs 4 says, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. So God's word encourages us to ponder, where are we going? What is our path? Now I want to read Jeremiah 1 from verse 4 on. Jeremiah 1. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I sent you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now it is very essential to recognize the calling upon every individual. Every individual in this world is created for a purpose. There is not one single accident in this world. Now, God literally knew us before we were even born. And this is not just about Jeremiah. Even Samson, his parents didn't have children. An angel appeared to his parents and said, you will have a son, prepare yourself. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Judges 13. Now this baby is going to be the deliverer for Israel. The baby was not even born yet, not even in the womb. Yet God knew who that baby was before it even reached the womb. He knew what he was going to do in the world. He knew what he was going to accomplish in that life. Now, the same with John the Baptist. God had a very specific plan with him and a specific calling. He was going to prepare the way for the Lord. Now, Acts 17:26 says something which is very important for us to know. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings. Now, it is not an accident that we live in the place we live. It's not an accident the job we have. It's not an accident that we live in our generation. God determined the date when you were born, when you came out. God didn't say, whoops, that one is not according to my plan. No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, well, this one has got two short legs, or this one hasn't got many brain cells. No, he determined the exact minute when you came into this world. Now, which means also, where you are located, where you live, which part of the problems in this world you are part of and involved in. If you are living here in New Topton, then you are going to be involved in the problems in New Topton. But God didn't mean us to be a problem, but a solution to the problems in our areas. And I want to talk about the word destiny this morning. It's that predetermined course. Before God has released you into the womb, He said, I'm going to create a man. I'm going to create a woman. He will have this name. She will do this. He will be a prophet. He will be an evangelist. He will be a statesman. He will be a businessman. She will be a housewife. And what I want to accomplish through that life is A, B, C, D. And if that person is going to be faithful to the calling, these are the fruits in this life. And this is what he will do to the masses around him. God knows the qualities he needs in that person. He knows the challenges of the generation. He knows the trials and the tests you are going to go through. He knows absolutely everything. And he created you in that very peculiar way so that you will be able to be victorious in your life situations you are going to meet. He equips you in everything to be victorious. Now, unfortunately, we are born in sin. In coming into this world, we fall into the plight of sinfulness. We are born in homes and families who are struggling to make sense out of this world. The world molds us. The culture molds us. The education molds us. Circumstances mold us. The history molds us. So we end up as a totally different person from what we were designed in creation. Now, but that's exactly why Jesus came into this world, to make that right and straight again in our lives, so that we gain the meaning back into our lives. Now, in Philippians 3, we read this. There's something very interesting. There's that great apostle Paul who says, I'm circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He was a true, through and through true Pharisee. Now, he was living his own faith. He was molded by the things of his day, the religion of his day. But after the day he met Jesus on the way to Damascus, he says, whatever was a profit to me, I give it up so that I may know him. Faith in Judaism and being a Pharisee was not compatible with believing in Christ. I had to give up my purity, my blamelessness. According to the law, he decided to give up absolutely everything. Now, you know, before I entered the world, God didn't actually consult me, David Ohin, when he made me. He didn't consult me. You see, he has the final say about my life. From A to Z, I am his. Paul gave up all his principles in order to know what God thinks about him. To know what God has planned for Paul's life. Why did he create me? Why am I here? I could have been born 100 years ago. Now, he made the choice when you and I were born into this world. And if we could have chosen, maybe we would have thought, oh, well, no, 100 years ago, there was no mobile phones. No, maybe not. And some may say, oh, yes, that would be really great. No mobile phones, no disturbances. But
choice was him. We didn't have
any part in deciding when to pop out. If I understand the purpose for why I am here, then I start leaving my own goals and head for the destiny God has for my life. I want to become the man of God He wants me to be. That's why the apostle said in Philippians 3, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. And you know, he did everything to press toward that calling. Apostle Paul, he was just so focused just to do what God wants him to do. Now, it's more than just to join a church or to go to the prayer meeting. It's all good and so necessary. But although it is vitally important, but we need to discover what is our identity in Christ. What is His plan for our lives? Now, but what hinders us? What actually hinders us on that path? It's our own plans, our own desires. It comes all down to that. You see, we dream, we want to pursue our dreams, we want to pursue some certain things in our lives. You may say, I want to get somewhere in my job, I want to earn so and so much money, I want to have a family, I want to have a car, I want to have a luxurious lifestyle, I want to be popular, I want this and that. And many things of these things are good. God will allow it to you. Praise God, not a problem. But if we value all these things more than the call of God in your life, you're going to miss the purpose why you are here. Destiny has got three important components. The first one is, before you are anything God, before God determines what you're going to be, He looks at His purposes. What He, God, wants to do in His generation. That's why God was able to say to Samson's mother, hey, purify yourself, prepare yourself. Don't drink any wine or similar drinks. Don't eat anything unclean. You know, you and your husband need to prepare. I'm going to bring a baby into your life. He's going to be a Nazarite. He's going to be mine. He's not going to taste any drinks. He will not have a haircut. I'm going to accomplish this and this through his life. And you know what? God is not saying when he is coming out, I will look at his qualities and then I will determine what I'm going to use him for. No, that is not the way. When you were born, God didn't look at you saying, purpose in life, bin collector. No. Or, oh wow, what came out here? Purpose, top theology professor. No. He didn't do that way. He has a purpose. He has a program. And he has a plan. For that plan, he needs somebody. And this person I need shall have this and that quality. In the modern language, it's called what DNA has that person got. Then shall it be a woman or shall it be a man? All that is his decision. He's deciding it. And who am I going to pass this baby through? He decides it. You're not an accident. You know it already, how it happens. The one cell from your mom and one cell of your dad, they met, each of them carrying 23 chromosomes. The one from your mom was carrying her The one from your mom was carrying half of her DNA, and the one from your dad was carrying half of his DNA. And those cells met and merged together to one single cell. And a brand new DNA is just come together, and it has never ever been before in the history of this world. And this is amazing. It's that code which the scientists have found out, 3 billion characteristics code. Now, if you stretch this code out, it will be 6 feet long. If you're going to read that code one letter at a time, it will take you a second. It will take you 96 years just to read the description of yourself. Isn't it absolutely amazing? This is how who you are, made wonderfully and fearfully. Now, the masses out there are being destroyed in sin. Young people don't know that they need Jesus. And yet, Jesus loves them. God does not want anybody to be lost. He wants to use you in his for his purpose. He's not going to create these people yesterday, nor today. These people are you and me. And he wants to work out that purpose of God in your life. And this is the second component here. What is my role in what God is doing? Why have I been created for such a time as this? What are those qualities in me that make me spiritually tick when the door is open before me? When I just participate in certain things, suddenly I feel my heart is just so open and smooth for God. And in other things, it doesn't work for you. We need to find out how we spiritually tick. How can we open our hearts for God? For some, it may be worship. For some, it's just in quietness, in prayer. We need to find out how can the Holy Spirit gain access to our hearts. And then thirdly, there is a program, there is a guidance. There is a leading of the Lord, and the program has got a beginning and an end. Maybe you woke up this morning and thought, am I still on track? Am I still on the plan, in the plan of God? Because, you know, one day I'm going to stand before him. And everyone will receive the reward when you stand before him. Because the Bible says, if anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. And those works are prepared. Because Ephesians 2 says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. He did it beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, there are certain works prepared for you and me already beforehand. And if he prepared works beforehand, he also prepared the rewards for these specific works. If someone prepared to reward you for a teaching ministry, and that person is going to be a doctor. Now, what will happen when he stands before God? God has prepared a teaching reward, but he was a doctor. What is he going to do? I don't know. But it's something to think about, because the works are prepared. If someone prepared to reward you for that, we need to find out what is God's plan for our lives. When Solomon started, he began very well. We see in Song of Songs, he wrote about the very intimate relationship he had with God. Solomon called God my lover, my beloved. And then the time came, God asked, what can I do for you? And he said, I want wisdom. He wanted wisdom. Why? He needed that wisdom to carry out that plan of God for his life. And it was all so good. He was asking something in line with the destiny God had for him. Now, one day he realized what a powerful man he was. And Ecclesiastes 2 says, so I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. He realized what a great, influential, mighty, wealthy man he was. And then one day he said, in his own words, in Ecclesiastes 1, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. I want to test you with foolishness. I want to test you with the things of the world. I want to test you with the ways of other men. I want to see what makes them tick. He turns away from the Lord and begins to go after these pursuits of men, worldliness. He went into great projects, great armies, great vineyards, great everything. Because he was so rich, there was no limit. He could do anything he wanted, and he went for it. He tried it out, and they were all wonderful. It was okay. It was good. But he didn't get the satisfaction out of these projects. So he started to pursue other things, and he didn't get anything out of it satisfaction-wise. And then he stepped over the borderline. He ended up with 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 women. I mean, that is like totally out of his mind. Even the women agree here. I mean, you wouldn't want to share your husband with 999 other wives. No, but he went totally over it. Then sin extended. Hundreds of idolatries spread just the country. And he stepped away, away, more and more away. Everything became more and more meaningless in his life. By the time he died, God was so angry that he took the kingdom away from him. He just left him one tribe because his father David, he was faithful to God. And how did he end? How did the end of Apostle Paul, how was it compared to Solomon? Paul was a Pharisee. He didn't know Christ. He obeyed the law. Then he found Christ and he said, I'm going to give up everything for Christ. But not only that, I want to discover what God sought in me. What is the purpose I am here for on this life, in this life? What does he want me to do? And he lived this life, his life, with one purpose. And then, when he came to his end of his life, he said this. Compare these words to Solomon's life. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. I did not live my life in vain. My life had a purpose. I did God's plan. Praise God. When you can look back to your life and you can say, I have done it. I raced the race. I did not fail. I did not waste my life with unnecessary things. I fought the right fight.
And now I want you to really start to pray into that direction. You know, this is not a message you can come forward and I can pray for you to get it. No, this is a message. You need to go home. You need to go on your knees. You need to go into a quiet room. You need to open up your heart before God and ask, what is the purpose in my life? What am I created for? Why am I here? What makes me tick to go after you, Jesus? What are the works you want me to do in this life? And you need to start studying yourself. You need to ask God, teach me. Teach me your ways. I don't want to slip away like Solomon. He started so good. And he went away always a little bit more. Always a little bit more. And in the end of his life, he was so far from where he began.